and in a very short 15 minutes, we bring you an hour of news. We hope that you'll bring us your support and your membership, your participation in your community through the voice of your community. Because we do not have our final closing credits, before we get into headlines for today, I just want to remind everyone that it is again membership drive. Time to make that call right now at 1-877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. I want to first off thank Kathleen Stevenson, the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Kathleen is also engineering the show today. We also have people out there in the membership drive room who are going to talk to you later at the end of the show about the many, many reasons, many the many rewards that are attended upon becoming a member of KBOO, apart from being a lot sexier and richer and more popular. There are many other reasons to join KBOO, and they're right there to tell you what those are. If you already are a member of KBOO and you are sexier, richer, and more popular than most of your friends, then you know why, and you ought to tell them right away. And before, again, just to remind people, get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. And that said, the state of Washington's undocumented students could be a heartbeat away from state-funded tuition at the state higher education halls. But that funding might not be there. Exactly the amount that is coming in is getting washed away again by the extreme currents of capitalism that seem to be flowing through the halls of our elected leaders. And moving right along, a new independent review finds the federal government used uncertain science when it proposed taking the gray wolf off the endangered species list across the lower 48. If people are wondering why there are so many coyotes in the suburbs, why raccoons are in your garbage, and why we have 35,000 and counting wild horses that people are scratching their heads wondering what to do about, think about it. The large predators that are part of the ecosystem have been decimated. The idea of hunting wolves by helicopters or as they say, picking them off slowly one by one has caused so many other problems up and down the food chain and throughout the ecosphere. We forget until there's a coyote in your kitchen that life is indeed a net. And over the last year, environmental groups have tried three times to use the Federal Clean Water Act to force Duke Energy to clear out leaky coal ash dumps like the one that ruptured last week. That one, of course, as we all know, spewed enough toxic sludge into a North Carolina river to fill, little Freudian slip there, 73 Olympic-sized pools, probably kill all the people in the Olympic-sized pools. Don't get me started on the Olympics. And each time, they say, their efforts have been stymied by the North Carolina Department of Environmental and Natural Resources. And wouldn't you think that this governmental agency paid for both our tax dollars, or certainly North Carolina's tax dollars, one would imagine that the Department of Environmental and Natural Resources would have at least some minimal interest in preventing these sort of catastrophes. But no, in fact, they've been aiding and abetting the very forces which caused this in the first place. And the last of three megaloads of refinery equipment headed for the tar sands of Western Canada is ready to set out on Oregon highways. But wait just a moment. If anyone's planning on setting out on Oregon's highways with or without a megaload, they might want to think twice. There are massive snow drifts along the sides of the freeways studded with vehicles who thought it'd be fun to try to gun up the Beamer and just see what it can do in harsh conditions. Harsh conditions, the tar sand fields of Alberta, seen from above, look like the blast zone after a nuclear bomb. It's terrifying. The land is so dead. It would seem to be millennia before anything like life returned to the area, and it stretches for miles and miles. It's so far away, of course, that no one thinks about it. No one sees it except online, if you go and take a look at the pictures. It's, of course, as many of these places that strike it rich. The fabric of society, the whole culture has been destroyed as well. Native peoples are raising a cry and actually leading the opposition to these things in Canada. And our own cowboy arsonists, the Hammond father and son team, may be looking at stiffer sentences as the cost of firefighting continues to soar. Locals have finally decided they don't like paying money to quench fires. These two set a grassland fire in the plains of eastern Oregon. They got very light slap on the wrist sentences, but now people are beginning to rethink that question. And farther afield, this finally made it across the national media's eye. This is one of these things that is so outrageous that should be at trial in The Hague. The idea that the Israeli Defense Forces are dragging children in and questioning them without their parents, without lawyers, coming in the night, taking them from the houses, keeping them, questioning several people at once, questioning them, terrifying children in tears, being questioned by the Israeli Defense Forces. It's a terrifying, terrifying image. And yet, the rest of the world continues to weep and twist its hanky over Syria. Syria is in dire straits, but this has been going on. This campaign of terror against the Palestinian people has continued for years and years, and it seems to be getting worse and worse as the world turns a blind eye, and the very agencies which should be preventing it seem to have stepped back and decided that there's nothing that they can do. Well, there's plenty that they can do. And that's it for Air Cascadia for Monday, February 10th, 2014. Again, thanks, Kathleen. It's time to go and talk to friends, fellow volunteers, members in the room. Good morning. We have people out there ready to tell you about the radio station you're listening to right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
And
well, what can I say? What I want to say is, my goodness gracious, all of you out there, realize what a great resource KBOO is and make a commitment right now to support this station. Remember, the government don't support us. Private enterprise don't support us. The churches of the United World of whatever don't support us. What does support us? You. Every one of you out there, we need your support. We need it now. Three times a year, we come to you begging, hat in hand, knowing full well that you will fulfill your commitment to make this station continue on. But now is the hour. Now is the moment. Call right now, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. You know, I'm going to repeat that number because sometimes we are number impaired. 877-500-5266. And if you're on the internets, you just go to KBOO.fm and you'll see the fantastic thing coming on there, and you got the tip jar and you make your commitment, and it's a visual experience that knocks your socks off. Don't miss the chance to use it. On the other hand, I'm a telephone freak. nobody dials anymore, but you hit those buttons and there's a sense of warmth, an incredible aura of success that it flows from your fingers through your body. It's just awfully like a thing we don't talk about on the air. 877-500-5266. Experience the aura of success. Experience the generosity that empowers us all. Experience the power that KBOO represents for truth in the community. 877-500-5266. If you do it, you'll feel good. This is your opportunity. It's understood. 877-500-5266. Yes, yes, yes. 877-500-5266. Make the phones ring. Make our lives better. Make your life better. Make the truth spread throughout the community.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.
You are tuned to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. This program has also been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Merrillhurst University dedicated to helping working adults revitalize their careers with 5 part-time MBAs, including an MBA in healthcare management, Evening, weekend, and online classes provide scheduling flexibility. March 6th information session, merrillhurst.edu.
Good morning and welcome to Locus Focus. I'm Barbara Bernstein, your host for this weekly conversation about our place on the planet. If we continue to allow climate change to remain unchecked, we are actually making the choice to adapt to a warming world that most of us do not want to fathom. Except for a particular class of entrepreneurs who see the catastrophes of climate change as an exciting market opportunity. My guest this morning has spent the last 6 years reporting on how people around the world are preparing for a warmer planet and how some people are cashing in on climate change. He's Mackenzie Funk, author of Windfall, The Booming Business of Global Warming. Mackenzie, welcome to Locus Focus.
Thanks for having me.
And I just want to mention that Mackenzie did the foolhardy drive from Seattle to Portland yesterday just to be on the show today and to be at PALS tonight to speak and, I guess, sign some books. So thanks for risking your life to come here.
Well, it was lots of fun. Thank you.
So, you're, in the end of your book, you talk about how the climate is changing faster than we are. And I wonder, what do you mean by that, and what does that say for the future?
Well, excuse me, also pardon my cold here, but the climate is obviously very slow moving, but I think we're slower. I saw the same kinds of thinking being applied to the problem, or in some cases opportunity for some, of climate change that kind of got us into this mess. And that can be everything from a sort of libertarian leaning capitalism, just the market will solve it, to a lot of faith in technology, to this sort of expansionist view that we saw in the 18th century. So as I saw in the Arctic, they were trying to claim territory up there. It was like, hooray, the ice is moving away. Let's go get that. That's obviously an old way of thinking. And man's been thinking like that for a long time.
Well, we have been talking a lot about climate change for the last 10 years or so, though I understand not as much in the last few years as we were back when Al Gore's movie came out. And there seemed to be a general consensus, except for a few loudmouths who remain committed to climate change denial. But most people are addressing that this is a serious problem. We have to take care of it. Then, of course, we have those regular global conferences and nothing happens. I was surprised in reading your book at the brazenness with which some people are embracing the climate change opportunities. I wonder, how do we correlate these two streams of thought that are currently going on?
Well, it was interesting. You know, I've talked to some of these big hedge funds in Manhattan, in London, and other funds that are investing in climate change. And I would say that, they're not happy about climate change, these managers. They're just wanting to make money. And so they're betting on both sides. They're saying, okay, we're going to put a lot of money, and to be fair, a lot more money toward mitigation, toward cutting emissions. So that'd be solar panels. That'd be everything you think of when you think of climate change investing. But there was this growing trend toward betting on failure. And that's because, well, as a reviewer very smartly wrote, business is more amoral than immoral. They just are in it for making money. And the less we do in terms of cutting emissions, the more adaptation we're going to have, and the more money is going to go toward that if that's where money is to be made. And I took it as almost a practical thing. It was just this is what we're going to do. And so,
well, yeah. I've thought about adaptation because a lot of people that I talk to who are seriously concerned about climate change, and we would probably consider environmentalists, talk about the need to adapt because it's too late to just wish that mitigation would take care of everything and we're going to just reverse what's already happening. But my idea of adaptation, it was more like Hurricane Sandy, New York, to think about softening the borders between the water and land and have more wetlands to absorb storm shocks and things like that, and thinking more naturally. And that's the kind of adaptation you hear spoken about a lot here in the Northwest. But let's talk about some of the adaptation that you have encountered in your travels around the world.
Well, sure. I got onto this topic. I should say I'm a magazine journalist, and I was aware of climate change, but I wasn't particularly interested from a journalistic perspective because I thought it was hard to cover. You know, many writers say, oh, okay, it's slow moving and all that. But in 2006 and 2007, I was sent to the Arctic by Harper's Magazine to go on a Canadian military mission to lay claim to Northwest Passage. And the idea being that the ice is pulling back, and therefore there's going to be a shipping route here. It's ours. Let's get it. There's also a ton of oil in the Arctic. It's